Yeah, my question, that was a fantastic message. We need to hear that once a month because it's that good. I mean, look, we're living in a present evil world, but this world, I don't know about y'all, but it's pulling me in 1,000 directions. Most of them ain't too good. Just a short question. Did E.C. Moore teach the two-naturism? In other words, you have either the flesh and the spirit are battling it out, because I've never believed that. I believe a believer has one nature. So, okay, that's all. Back to you.
Well, E.C. Moore has died, so I don't know that we can... I don't remember what he said. I got some verses posted here, though, that not posted, but that I can put in. Let me just see what they say, and I think that'll somewhat answer. Look in Romans 13. And it says... The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore, let us therefore cast off, that's even more emphatic than put off the works, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I never heard that term before, two naturism. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on. So you cast off and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Struggle against his flesh. Let's look at Ephesians 4:22. I'm pretty much letting these verses speak for themselves. I mean, that's what we're to do, right? We're to believe the Bible, not the teacher. Okay, there's one. We're looking for 22 through 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Well, if you're saved, he's talking to saved people here in Ephesians. That's a prison epistle, a post-Acts epistle. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Why would he tell him to put it off if it was gone when he was saved? Which is corrupt and corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So your mind, that's where you choose, that's where you know what God says and what your flesh tells you. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new man is what he's talking about there in Romans 7. Let me get that up. Romans 7, 17, 20, and 23 show that new man. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Let's get all three verses before we... Happy Transfiguration Day. Now... If I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, that's the new man, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then 23, beings of light we are, if we're saved. But I see another law in my members not being the new man, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So Paul, as a saved person, has the law of sin in his members, but he he's saved, he's righteous. So it's not two people, but it's one. Your body, your flesh, is on one side. The way I understand it, it's on one side. The Spirit of God in your spirit is on the other side, and your soul, mind, emotions, and will, your will chooses between them, and we're to choose to walk as Christ wants us to walk rather than as the flesh wants us to walk. Let me go on with Galatians 5. These are some of these verses he read. Galatians 5:16 and he just read, well, we'll go over them again then. I'm going to go down through the end of the chapter, through 26, because it all bears on it when you take it in context. This I say then, walk. Okay, you have a choice. He's saying to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are the two ways you can walk as a believer. Now, a person that has not believed the gospel of salvation yet doesn't have two ways to walk. They only have their Adamic, the nature they got from Adam. They only have that fallen nature that after Adam sinned, he had Seth, from whom we, Noah and the rest of us, descended. And we have that sin nature in us too. For the flesh, that's the flesh is what it's talking. That's the Adam nature is what it's talking about when it talks about the flesh. Lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18. But if you be led of the, if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Remember, the law is what condemns us. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're seen. They're shown. The works of the flesh. The flesh. The old man. That Adam nature that's in us. The works of it are shown, which are these. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Let's go on with the list here. Keep this all in context. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I don't know what all of these are. We could look them up, but we know they're all not good. They're all associated with the flesh, not the Spirit of God. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. Don't you love that word? But the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit within us grows fruit. You don't have to fan it or shine light on it or whatever. It grows. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Last two verses. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. But remember how he started out? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit are against each other. They're contrary one to the other. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's a verse they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Let me find this verse relative to this. It's slipped my mind. If we live in the Spirit, it slipped out of my mind. Sorry. Can't think what it was, what book it was in even right now. It'll come to me again, I think. But I don't know if that's what you call two naturism. You know, we have more now as believers than we had when we were not believers, when we were just had Adam's nature in us. We now have the Spirit of God in us, which is much different. You know, I guess you would call that a different nature. It's a different starting point, a different nativity in our life when the Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Regardless of the nomenclature, the way you speak of it, you know, what you name it, these verses are true that there are two sides and we're to choose to follow God. And oh, I know what it was. Mortify, therefore, where is that? Romans 6? No, that's Colossians 3. Where's Romans 6:11 here? Reckon yourselves. So even though we as believers have the Spirit of God prompting us through the Scriptures what to do, how to live, we still need to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. Remember it said that, it used the term crucified, that it was dead in us. And here, we have to go beyond that. It can still try to resurrect itself, or it can still influence us. We have to choose to reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Why? How can we do that? How can we just choose to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin? Well, there's a couple reasons. If we go to the context earlier, it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then it says, reckon ye yourselves dead to sin. Because we are. We are dead to sin. And if you look in verse 7, Romans 6:7, he that is dead is freed from sin. So we go back in by choice. Go back into sinning and into the fleshly living and vain vanity and pride and the sin nature. We do that by choice. We don't have to. We, like we said before, disbelievers, people that have not received Christ as their full payment for all their sins and received, we all have something we're trying to get right with God about, or right with, you know, period, just right. Even if they don't believe in God, we all have something. You know, I pay my taxes, I go to church every week. You know, if I miss a week, I go twice the next. People, you know, they tally up and they try to be good enough for God. Well, you can't. We got to give all that up and instead trust that Christ died for all my shortcomings, all my sins, and that he was buried and rose again, proving that we're justified, that those sins are dealt with and behind God. They're not an issue any longer. We are condemned because of our nature and because of the sins that our nature makes us do, our sin nature from Adam. The other part was in Colossians. I think it's 3:11. I'm looking. It must be. Yeah, there it is. 5:3:5. Same same impact. Mortify or kill, therefore, your members which are on the earth. And now, it doesn't mean to kill you. Kill people. Kill these things: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. You see the word Cupid in there? It gives you a hint what that's about. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify them. It's a battle we're in. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. The rulers, how does that verse go? The rulers of spiritual darkness, I think it is. Let me just get that verse up here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the physical things, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The god of this world is Satan, prince of the power of the air, he's called, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our opponent, our attacker. The wiles of the devil is after us because, we wrestle against him. We don't give in. We try not to. The way to do it is to follow the Spirit's prompting through the Word of God. Bible study and fellowship in meetings like this or other meetings where people emphasize the grace life, the apostleship of Paul, that Paul is the one, actually. Christ only sent our information through Paul. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 11:13. So that's the Christian life, and the only way in is not by grafting, not by baptizing a physical act, but by believing the gospel. If we look in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, yeah, 14 here, he says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. So that's how he calls us into the body of Christ, by the gospel. We believe the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And now you can believe those facts and not be saved. You need to believe it in the sense of receiving it to your own condemnation, to cure your condemnation. Forget all the things that you try and do to get right with God or to show yourself as good enough. We're not good enough. We're bankrupt. We have nothing to give God. God doesn't owe us salvation. He is gracious, and he does it out of his grace. He died for every one of our sins, past, present, and future. And just receive that as your full payment for the wages of sin that we have. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for our sins.